First Kings. Let's see. First Kings 17. I'm going to shock y'all with one person that found an Abram that you wouldn't believe found an Abram. Oh, that's why I ask y'all to pray with the Holy Spirit. Because when I'm going to say, some of y'all going to be like, huh? First Kings 17, look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Underline the word commanded. Amen. God say, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and went. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little of water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now watch this. Here's why it's your choice. The Bible says that God told Elijah, I have already talked to this woman. And gave her instructions. So he left and went to Zarephath. When he saw it, when he got to the gate, he saw the woman. Now, he saw the woman, but the woman had to recognize him. Notice he ain't walking and say, I'm the mighty man of God. She had to recognize him. This is why I get mad when preachers want to use this scripture out of context. Don't bring nobody no money that they telling you to bring and certain amounts they bring if God ain't told you. Because God ain't telling no preacher to tell you no amounts to bring unless he told you first. I got Bible. What that is, that's a product of preachers not going through the process. They ain't found Abraham. So they gotta figure a way to get money out of you. Everybody has to find. So these preachers, they be trying to use this scripture out of context, is trying to bypass Genesis 12, 1 through 3. See, God ain't making it wide open to Eden, where everybody can get in. He ain't making it wide open. There are some things, some choices you got to make, some things you got to do, some prices you got to pay. Jesus died on the cross so that we won't be broke. But God gave you the seed to initiate it. This woman found her Abraham. She recognized her Abraham. And she made a move. Abraham, really, Elijah, be honest, Elijah really wasn't too much caring about the woman. He really wasn't. You got to remember where he had come from. The brook had been dried up. The ravens had stopped coming. The Lord said, get these there, but I've commanded the wind and the woman to sustain you. He was worried about being sustained. He was carrying the agenda. But the woman needed the agenda to come her direction so she could be sustained. Because God said, I will bless those. So God stopped feeding him because he was carrying the agenda to get him in the way of this woman. So God was doing her a favor by stop feeding Elijah. He really wasn't concerned, because if you notice what he said, after he said, I'm going to get the sticks. I ain't got much food left. I was planning on getting the sticks and dress it so that me and my son can eat it and die. Elijah responds, well, okay, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and fix it. If you're going to die, go ahead and die. But just make me a cake first before you die. What am I saying? It's funny, but what am I saying? I am saying that you shouldn't expect your Abraham to be concerned about your financial situation. Why? Because God said, I'm going to bless those. I am going to be responsible for empowering the prosper those that cause you to be successful, Abraham. So in this case, God was telling the woman, hey, I am going to be responsible for you and your son eating because you have helped my servant. I'm going to be responsible that barrel won't waste and the oil won't run out. Not Elijah, God said it. Be seated. Everyone must find the Abraham. Go with me to 1 Samuel 22. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel 22. Verse 1, David then therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in, and everyone that was, gathered themselves unto David. And he became a captain over them, government. There were with him about 400 men. Yes, sir. Debt, distress, and discontentment. Yeah. They left from their place of debt, distress, and discontentment and joined themselves to somebody who had an agenda. Yeah. See, this pattern is all through the Bible.
Yes, sir.
They joined themselves to somebody who had an agenda from God.
Yeah.
So when they attached themselves to that agenda, what is 1 Chronicles 20, 29? Go there. Now, when they say they attached, keep turning, but when they say they attached themselves to David, that didn't mean that they just was hanging on for dear life. That means they came to carry their weight.
Yeah.
See, one of the problems with the pastoral model is the pastoral is more focused on feeding you rather than training you.
Yeah, right. That's good.
They're more focused on solving your problems than making you a problem solver. Ephesians 4, verse 11, gives us the five gifts that Jesus gave to us to do, verse 12, for the perfecting or the maturity of the saints. You got to grow up.
Yeah.
Why you got to grow up? Because you got some work to do in the ministry.
Yep, yep, yep.
Because if you don't do the work in the ministry, the body of Christ can't grow. So we have to attach ourselves to an agenda.
Yeah.
You have to attach. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter, and I'm going to come back. I may get back to 1 Chronicles 29, but you read 1 Chronicles 29, them same people that was in 1 Samuel 22, they was in 1 Chronicles 29, giving right along with David.
Right.
Now, remember, they was all in debt, distress, and discontentment.
Right.
They ain't had no money.
Right.
They was busted and disgusted.
Yeah. Right.
But then by the time they joined themselves to an agenda from God, which was embodied in a man, then their lives begin to change.
Yeah.
All they did was they took their seed and themselves and attached it to David.
Yes, sir.
They say, matter of fact, I believe it's a little, I think it's First Chronicles. One, they had another group of people that attached themselves to David, and they came out and said, David, we are yours. We are yours. And that David accepted them and trained them and put them as captains over. And you see them same people in 1 Chronicles 29. David gave his amount of money to build the temple. They came right behind him and gave their amount.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
It all began in 1 Samuel 22. They all started off in debt, distress, and discontentment. But they stuck with the agenda of God that was embodied in a man. 2 Corinthians 8. I'm almost finished. 2 Corinthians 8. Let me get there. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. All right, let's start at verse 1. I'm going to read it real quick. Moreover, brethren, we do the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and a deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, meaning they were giving. For to their power, I bear you record, even beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And they did this not as we planned, not as we hoped. They made a choice, but first gave their own selves. I'm glad the Apostle Paul wrote this. Gave their own selves to the Lord, and underline that, and unto us by the will of God. So it was in God's perfect will for them to give themselves and their resources to the Apostle Paul, who was their Abraham. He embodied the agenda of God.
That's good. Yes, sir. That's good.
All right, you ready? Go with me to Matthew's, the 3rd chapter. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Remember, I say everybody has to find their Abraham. All right, before we get to Matthew 3, Thank you, Holy Spirit. Get to Matthew 3. Get to turning. I ain't got much time. Get to turning. Matthew 3. All right, and hold your finger there. All right, now go to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 10. In another session, I will deal with 1 through 9, because that ain't, some of y'all think that, but Jesus wasn't confused when he was talking there. He was making a point. But in verse 10, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Watch this. If therefore you have not been faithful, full of faith, full of assignment, full of God's instructions, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? All right? Now, Jesus said this in verse 12. Because you got to realize, he was talking to people he was training. His disciples, who were going to eventually be apostles. He said in verse 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, Jesus couldn't have said this if he hadn't practiced it. So even Jesus had to find. Oh, yeah. Look at the faces. Oh, look at the faces. Oh, look at the faces. Because Jesus is not a hypocrite.
Right.
He is the word of God that became flesh. So everything he asking us to do, he already did. And he died on the cross so that the sin nature can be taken off of us so we can do what he's asked us to do. So Jesus ain't going to tell us to do something and he hadn't practiced it. Okay. Matthew's, the third chapter. Matthew's the third chapter and the 13th verse. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And watch what Jesus answered him. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Allow it to be. For this is becometh of us. This is necessary for us to do, so that we can fulfill what it said. All righteousness. It didn't just say righteousness. It said all righteousness. What Jesus was saying is, it is necessary for me to support you and to help you in ministry so that I can do what God has called me to do in earth realm. You don't think he allowed that man to baptize him and didn't support his ministry? If you think that way, then you think Jesus is a hypocrite. You think Jesus ain't applied the principles that he's teaching. He said, if you're not faithful in that which is another man, who would give you that which is your own? Jesus had to be faithful. See, y'all forget, Jesus came to earth to become a human so that he can die for humans. The Bible says he stripped himself. The Bible says he took on every temptation that we had to face. So what happens is the pastoral model has caused us to ignore this. Has caused us to ignore Genesis 12, 1 through 3. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3 never crossed our mind when Jesus showed up to John the Baptist. When he showed up to John the Baptist, he said so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. Jesus says so every principle that God has set for the people I'm going to die for to work, I need to work them myself. All right. Go to Luke the sixth chapter. Come on, Luke the sixth chapter. Watch this. Y'all need more proof. Luke the sixth chapter. Luke the sixth chapter. Watch. Luke the sixth chapter, verse 38. He said, give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Jesus was talking to a bunch of future preachers. Can the broke lead the... All right, see, you still, all right, what? Go to the next verse. The disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone that allows the teacher to mature them will become like the teacher. So Jesus was telling the disciples, listen, if y'all don't get to support me like I have supported, because see, he said give, right? It was supposed to be understood that Jesus was talking apostolically. Jesus had, was telling them, I had found my Abram. I supported my Abram. Be seated real quick. Watch this. See, this is why I asked how many LTMA, because I need, the last 8 minutes, I need to testify a little bit and explain to you what brought LTMA into fruition. Because Genesis 1 through 3 is embodied in LTMA. That's why it's important that you find your Abram. Now, those of us in LTMA, we found our Abram. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm giving you clarity of how important it is for you to recognize that you found your Abram. What LTMA has done is organize, structured government. All right, structured a means by which you can attain what Apostle did on accident. See, people don't know. See, so I'm gonna say people don't know. Brother Hagin is Apostle's Abram. So I bet you, I don't have time, but if I would dig in Brother Hagin's history, I could go find his Abram. Because you can't be that anointed. See, Brother Hagin really didn't talk about money. He didn't really talk about money much. He was anointed, he didn't talk about money, but money just showed up to him, because I know he was working a principle that when he found his Abram, Brother Hagin was supporting his Abram. There were times when, people don't know this, but Apostle took his aircraft, the first aircraft he had, went picked Brother Hagin up, flew him to Canada and told him, get as many suits as you want. In other words, he would tell him, get as much armor as you need to go fight your battles. Because you wear a suit when you preach. That's your armor. That's your suit. This is how we dress when we preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
He said, go and get as many suits as you want. Brother Hagin came to the Holy Ghost meeting here. Came to a Holy Ghost meeting. And I'll never forget this. We were sitting as a family and we were discussing, what can we do? What can we do? They come in. What can we do? And we come up with the idea. I know we can do. We can pay his budget before he get here, so all the money he received can be just over the top lanyard. See, these are things that people don't know that Apostle did. A man made a statement one time, and I didn't understand it at the time. I won't call him. He made a statement. He said, I'm not supporting that ministry. He was talking about, I'm not supporting Brother Hagin ministry. Because it seemed like it's a one-way street. But I understand now, through the apostolic, it's supposed to be a one-way street. Because Brother Hagin wasn't responsible for our prosperity. God was responsible. I will bless those. Every camp meeting, Apostle would go and bring a check. Apostle would mail checks. Apostle would make sure Brother Hagin got this. Make sure Brother Hagin got that. Make sure Brother Hagin got this. He wasn't concerned about his ministry. Because he understood that if I could be faithful in that which, do y'all know that Genesis 12 and 2 and Luke 16 and I think it's 15 is equal? It's saying the same thing. Jesus was just repeating what God told Abram in the New Testament. If you be faithful in that which is another man, I'll give you on. All he was saying was, I'm going to bless you because you've blessed or you caused your Abraham to be successful in what I've called them to do. Everybody has defined. If Jesus had defined his Abraham, it should be no issue with you finding. Jesus couldn't have died and become poor so that we become rich if he hadn't found his Abraham. Remember, he said to fulfill all righteousness. See, the body of Christ the body of Christ got too many preachers that trying to receive offerings but haven't gone through the process. So you're sowing in dead ground. Everybody got to find Abraham. If you don't find your Abraham according to Genesis 1 through 3, you can't find your way back to Eden. Because God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. And the ultimate goal for God is that every family of the earth be blessed, be prosperous, have more than enough. That can't happen if you don't find your Abraham. Is that? See, I don't want you to think about the humanity. Think about what the humanity is embodying. Let me read this right quick. You be seated. So you might want to take notes. Be seated. Let me read this right quick and I'm going to sit down. What should I look for in Abraham? Number one, they must be apostolic. Or they must carry the agenda of God or be connected to the agenda of God. Two, God must be their source. Other words, your offering and your tithe ain't going to make no difference to them. Because if you don't give nothing, God going to get it to them one way or the other. It's just you have an opportunity to be a... All right, we got that. They can't compromise for you to stay to give. They won't compromise for you to stay to give. Matter of fact, that is more important than being anointed. Because I know some anointed people that be begging for money. They truly anointed, but they beg for money. So therefore, they're compromised. Number three, they must have a pedigree of finding their Abraham. If you in LTMA and you in your churches and you don't mention apostle, nobody got nothing to track. How I know you good ground? How I know this is a vision that's attached to an agenda and not just something you made up? They must be, number four, and I'm closing. They must be allowed to hold you accountable whether you are in the vicinity or from a distance. That means that whether you get close to apostle or not, he should have, if you're an LTMA, whether you get close to him in his personal space or not, he should have the right. Word of life, whether we're in his personal space or not, he should have the right. Online, whether you're in his personal space or distance, he should have the right to hold you accountable. You say, how you gonna hold me accountable? There's some times when apostle be preaching and run right across your road. Just plow it crossways. You got to be adult enough in the spirit to say, he talking to me, I need a change. They must be allowed to hold you accountable whether you are in the vicinity or not. You doing the offering? Who doing the offering? I'm doing the offering. Who doing it? Because I'm done. Come on, Montreal.